All right, as we get into the Word of God here, we're going to do quite a bit of reading this morning. I was reading this story in the Bible this week, and a powerful message came to me from it, and it's found in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It says this, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Socoh and Ezkah. Saul and his men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah. And they drew up in battle, arrayed to encounter the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountainside, while Israel stood on the other mountainside, with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines, and his name was Goliath from Gath." I want you to notice something here. I'm going to jump to verse 8. "He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, 'Why do you come out to draw up the battle? Am I not the Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. Let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then he will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us.' And again, the Philistine said, 'I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together.' And when Saul and all the Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid." Now look at verse 16. "The Philistines came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand." So for 40 days, Goliath came and took his stand. And in verse 22, "David left his baggage in the care of his baggage keeper, and he ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, behold, the champion Goliath came out and was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke these same words to David, and he heard them. And when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. The men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel.'" Notice he said, "If you can kill him, you and your household will be free." And David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" And finally, in verse 32, "David said to Saul, 'Let no man lose heart. Let no man lose heart on account of him. Your servant will go and fight.' Then Saul said to David, 'You are not able.'" Notice these words of Saul. "You are not able. You are not able to go out against this Philistine to fight with him. For you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." Look at verse 45. "And David said to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword. You're coming to me with a spear and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted.'" Notice what David said here. Because Saul said, you weren't able. And Goliath was taunting God. David took an approach that I want to teach you guys tonight, to this day. Everyone seemed to be attacking David. But David said, you're not attacking me. You're attacking God. For when anyone attacks a child of God, the Bible says, he is actually attacking God. Because you are a child of God. So verse 45, David said to the Philistines, you come to me in a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord and the armies of Israel who you have defied. Verse 46 is the most powerful verse of the entire story of Goliath. It's just one phrase. This day, can we all just say that together? This day, come on, say it like you mean it. This day, turn to your neighbor and shake them up a little and say, this day. David said, this is the day. This day, the Lord will deliver. Give him a shout of praise if you believe that this morning. Father, bless this word in the name of Jesus. Father, let your words come out of my mouth and into our hearts, Lord. And Father, I just pray that your word be alive this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject that I've titled, This Day. This day. As I was reading this passage, and I was reading it over and over and over again, I noticed something about this story that I've grown up with. I've learned it from my Sunday school teacher and my parents in church for years. But there are so many things about this passage, this story of David and Goliath, that a lot of us seem to miss. And a very powerful point will be taught this morning. You see, as I was reading this passage, the Lord began to show me something. But I want to tell you this morning that as the Lord showed me this, it made me just appreciate life more. Because every day is a gift from God. Every day of your life is a gift from God. And we are to make every day count. Because the Bible says that tomorrow is not promised to us. So every day that you get out of bed is a day that the Lord has blessed you with purpose and meaning. Every day of your life is a precious gift from God. Now imagine for a moment. Imagine for a second. If God right now would tell you, this will be your last day. Picture that. Because in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus told a parable of something that happened just like this. That God came up to a man and said, this very day, your life will be demanded of you. See, Jesus taught this principle and this parable to teach us the value of life. So what if God told you tomorrow will not be seen? That today would be your last day. Can I tell you how your life would change and be impacted by that? How many of you would believe that your priorities would change instantly if you knew today was your last day? Hands up, please. How many of you would stop worrying about half the things you're worried about if you knew today was your last day? How many of you would be angry or waste your time being angry and upset over something or someone if you knew today was your last day? In fact, our whole lives would change instantly if we knew that tomorrow was not going to happen. Our desires would change, our priorities would shift, our attitudes would transform, even how we treat people. I'm sure that there are people you would come up to thank if you knew today was your last day. There are people you would come up to say, I love you, if you knew today was your last day. People that you normally never say that to. You would make it a goal to communicate. Do I have your attention now? Because you're saying, Pastor, what does this have to do with David and Goliath? Be patient. Because Psalm chapter 118, verse 24, the Bible says, this is the what? This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let me tell you two powerful things about this scripture. Number one, God expects you to live every day rejoicing and glad. But many of us are wasting our day complaining and arguing and frustrated and depressed and discouraged and angry. And God says, this is the day that I have made. And I want you to rejoice and be glad in it. And God doesn't say rejoice and be glad if you've had a good day. No. See, a lot of us expect us to be only glad when life is good, when our day went well, when everything in work was okay, and the family's okay, and the house is fine. Then I'll be glad. But how do you expect me, God, to be glad and to rejoice when every day of my life is so hard, and it's a struggle, and I don't understand how God expects me to be glad when I'm going through all these issues every day of my life? Do I sound like you? Well, God says, I want you to rejoice, be glad in this day. How? Why? Because no matter what your day looks like, what your days have looked like, the reason you rejoice and the reason that you're glad is because you know every day belongs to God and God is still in control. God is still sovereign. He's still in authority. He's still on the throne. So no matter what you're going through, God says you can rejoice and you can be glad this day because this day belongs to me. You see, you can be glad and rejoice when your focus is not on your day, but your focus is on God who controls the days of your life. But I wonder how many of us are wasting our days, our precious day that the Lord has made. How are you spending it? What are you wasting your time on? Who are you wasting your time on? What problems, what issue, what has you upset and angry that just frustrates you? And you're just wasting your days away. If God would tell you right now, today is your last day. I promise you, you would look back at your life and realize how many things you wasted your energy on. How many things you wasted your time with. How many attitudes and problems robbed you of your joy and your peace and your praise that had no business stealing your priorities. Am I preaching truth this morning? Because Israel, in this passage of scripture, they chose to live every day of their lives. Every day. The Bible said they lived in fear and dismay. That word dismayed in the Hebrew literally means to fall apart. It's a symbolism of discouragement. So the children of God wasted their day afraid and discouraged. Why? Because every day they had the same problem. Goliath. And Goliath was bigger than them, stronger than them. Goliath represents that thing in your life that is bigger than you and you can't seem to overcome. What's worse is the Bible says that King Saul declared, whoever can take Goliath down, their whole lives will change. He said, if you can take Goliath down, I'll give you my daughter. Meaning you will become royalty. You would live in the palace. You and your family will be set free, the Bible said. In other words, your life will be so much better, so much easier, so different from your reality if you can just take Goliath down. So you know that every day these men dreamed of that day, that they would be the one to get Goliath down. They would imagine what it would be like to defeat Goliath because they imagined the day that their reality would shift and change and their whole lives. They pictured themselves married to that daughter of the king. They pictured themselves in the palace. They pictured their families free. But every day they got up with enthusiasm. How do I know this? Because the Bible says they got up every day and went to the battle line. So they got up, they put on their armor, they got their weapons, they encouraged each other and said, this is the day, I'm going to take that sucker down, I'm going for it. And then when they stepped up, they said, never mind, see you tomorrow, and they went back home. When I read that, I thought it was amusing. Until I was convicted of how many people in churches everywhere live like that. How many times have you told yourself, this is the day I'm going to change. This is the day I'm going to stop that sin. This is the day I'm going to stop this attitude of mine. This is the day I'm going to forgive that person. This is the day I'm going to be set free on that. This is my day. Only to just try, fail, and come back. And Goliath taunts you. See, Goliath not only represents what's bigger than you today. Goliath represents what's separating you from where you are to where you want to be. Goliath represents what separates you from a different life. What separates you from the life you've always wanted, dreamed of, and desired, and imagined. See, all of us have a Goliath because Goliath is that thing that if it wasn't for that thing, if it wasn't for this, if I could only overcome this, everything in my life would be so different and so much better if I can only overcome and defeat this one Goliath in my life. Man, how my life would be so much different. So Goliath is a sin problem that you say, if I can just stop this and overcome this bad habit, my life would be so much blessed. My marriage would be different. My kids would be greater. My whole home would be blessed if I can just stop this Goliath of a sin. If I can just get over the Goliath of a past that I have. If I can just overcome this guilt and this regret of my past, if I can overcome all the things that people have done and said, if I can just forgive those in the past, if I can just take this Goliath down, my life would be so much greater. If I can just take down this Goliath of an attitude, if I can just overcome this bitterness and this unforgiveness and this anger and this selfishness, I would be such a different person living such a different life if I can just take down Goliath. Some of you have a Goliath of a person in your life that should have been gone the first day. But because of them, you're not who you want to be. And can I get a witness this morning? If there's a Goliath in your life, if there's something in your life you're saying, God, if it wasn't for this, if I can just conquer this, my whole life would be so different. What's so sad is that they chose every day that was precious, a gift from God, to live in fear and discouragement, and with the only assumption of, what if I can do it? And I don't think I can do it. Living with doubt and fear is not the way that God wants you to live the life He's given you. That is not a way for a child of God to live. But in verse 16, what's sad is the Bible says, every day, for 40 days, he took his stand. Every day, every morning. What a way to live. Psychologists say it takes about 30 days to develop a habit. Anything after that's a lifestyle. Goliath became not only a problem, but a habit. Not only a habit, but a lifestyle. Here's my point. If you're not careful, you can make a problem a lifestyle. If you're not careful, you can get an issue that should have been defeated a long time ago in your life, a way of life. A norm, a way of living. Goliath should have been down the first day. But he just became a lifestyle. Every morning, like routine, I get up, make my coffee, put on my armor, go to the battle, come back a failure. For 40 days, it was a routine to get up and say, this is the day we're going to defeat him, only to give up and go home defeated and discouraged and frustrated. If you are not careful, we can make a bad problem, a habit that will turn into a lifestyle. And rather than overcoming the sin in our lives and the issues, we just adopt it as a way of life and we accept it as a norm and a routine. It's normal for me to live in depression. It's normal for me to be frustrated and angry all the time. It's normal for me just to have the sin in my life. I've accepted it. Yeah, you've accepted it. God hasn't. God does not accept what is a problem in your life that's going to hinder you from the life that He wants you to live. So I wonder how many things in our lives and how many Goliaths do we wake up to that we just accept as an everyday thing now. And God says, that's not normal. It's not normal to get up every morning and put on an armor and go to the battlefield only to do nothing. So I wonder how many of us adopt this routine of living life just praying for the same thing you know you're going to commit tomorrow. Doing the same thing you tell yourself, I'm not going to do anymore. Telling yourself, I'm going to make myself feel better. I'm going to encourage myself until something happens in your life and you're back down at the bottom. What is it in your life that not only has become a problem, but a lifestyle? You can make sin a routine. You can make attitudes routine. I'm just a natural selfish person. I'm naturally angry. I'm Cuban. That's who I am. What can I say? It's who I... Really? Because it may be who you are, but it's not who God wants you to be. It's sick to me how many people in our society have accepted things that God says does not belong in your life anymore. Life could be so different if you stop making Goliath a lifestyle and take him down already. Defeat him already. Because I believe it not only angers God, but it saddens him. When he sees Goliath every day, when he sees us making a lifestyle out of Goliath, when God has made you to be more than a conqueror, God did not create you to live a life of fear and discouragement. But yet we have just accepted it as normal. If you say, man, it's normal for me to be stressed all the time. It's normal for me to be angry and frustrated all the time. It's normal for us to have problems and fights all the time in our marriage. And it's so normal for me to go back and forth. It's normal for me to disappear for a little bit from church. It's so normal. That's not normal. Church, you never say, you're not normal. Tell them, it's not normal. You're crazy. See, if I can go back in time to this story, I would tell all those Israelites, you're crazy. Goliath was separating you from a great life. Goliath was keeping you from the life you've always wanted and imagined. But rather than overcoming Goliath, you're letting Goliath overcome you, and you have just accepted him as a norm and a lifestyle. Yep, every day I wake up to Goliath. I wonder how many Goliaths you wake up to every day. Good morning, bad attitude. You're going to work with me today? Oh no, you're going to go to church with me today. Okay. Hey, sin, how are you? Yeah, I'll see you tonight. Same time tomorrow. How many things in our lives are just not normal? But see, when you get so used to Goliath every day, putting on the armor just becomes a routine. You put on your armor today to go to church. For what? To tell yourself you're going to stop this time? To tell yourself you're going to change this time? To tell yourself I'm going to be free this time? Only by the time this time after lunch, you say, nah, maybe next Sunday. And you're going to come back home like these men, defeated and discouraged. Because you've made a routine of just coming to the altar and praying. You've made it a routine to just sing songs and worship. You've made it a routine to tell God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. You've made it a routine to ask God, change my life, change, bless me, please change my life. It's become a routine, and God is tired of the routine. That's why God says, choose this day whom you're going to serve. This is your day. See, I want to bounce between verse 10 and verse 46. Verse 10, Goliath says, I define the ranks of Israel when? This day. Goliath got up and said, this day is mine. I had yesterday. I had the day before. I had last week. I had 2 weeks ago. Why would today be any different? Today, this day, I am standing. I feel like the enemy tells us that every day. Every day the devil wakes up to you and says, this day is mine. I'm going to make you miserable. I'm going to keep you in bondage. You're going to be afraid. You're going to be sad. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to have strife. You're going to be miserable. I'm taking a stand. This day is mine. And you say, okay, devil, it's yours. Go ahead, make me miserable today. Man, bounce to verse 46. What did David say? This day is the Lord's. See what the battle was? The battle was not David and Goliath. They were fighting for the day. They were fighting for today. Goliath said, this day is mine. David's like, no, this day is God's. No, this day is mine. No, this day is God's. Every day of your life, there is a spiritual battle for your day. The devil wants today. But today belongs to God. The only way the devil gets today is because you give it to him. So these men said, okay, Goliath, this day is yours for 40 days. The first day David heard Goliath, he said, not today. He said, this day the Lord will deliver you. So David said to his enemy, I'm not giving you another day. See, when I read this week, I felt it in my heart that this church needs to begin to declare the words of David. I'm not giving the enemy another day of my life. Because for them it was for 40 days. For you it might have been years and months and weeks that the devil has been on you. Taking you every day. Every day he said, this is my day. And you give it to him. So you live in anger and depression and frustrated and sin. And every day you say, God, please help me. And today is a new day. But today the devil says, yeah, it's a new day, but it's still my day. So every day you go to home and the devil's there. Every day you go to work and the devil's there. You drop out the kids at school and the devil's there. Why? Because you have given the enemy your day. Whenever you submit to fear and discouragement, you are submitting your day to Satan. And you're saying, here, take my day. But David said, this day belongs to the Lord. You need to declare that the enemy will not have another day ever in your life again. You have to choose that you will not live another day afraid, worried, discouraged, in bondage, angry. You're not going to lose another day that I could have joy, that I could have praise, that I can be glad and rejoice. I'm not going to forfeit that anymore. Who am I preaching to this morning? That you're just tired of the devil having your day. I think next time you call with a problem, you say, hey, stop giving the devil your day. And give it to God. See, I want to close with this here because I was reading this. It was probably one of the hardest weeks for us, wasn't it? For those who didn't have power and all that. Even that was a day to rejoice and be glad. It was hot, it was frustrating, it was crazy. And that was before the hurricane hit. But that was still a day the Lord had made. Those 3-hour lines for gas was a day the Lord made. The craziness in your life, the bad day that you want to forget about, it's still a day the Lord has made. The day you found out you were sick was a day the Lord had made. The day you lost a loved one was a day the Lord made. The day you got divorced, it was a day the Lord made. You guys getting me? Your day may be hard. Your day not makes no sense. Your day may be frustrating. Your day may be full of struggles. But if you can just tell yourself, this is the day that the Lord has made. And if the Lord made it, it belongs to Him, not the enemy. So I'm not going to live this day afraid and discouraged and frustrated. I'm going to live today as though it belongs to God, who is sovereign and in control of all the days of my life. How did David overcome Goliath? You know, for years I learned this. I remember because his name was David. I thought it was so cool. For real. And, you know, for years, I thought David was the only one that stepped up that day to fight him. How do you believe that? Come here, don't be like, no, I don't. Come on. All right. It's not true. I read this story in the context around it. And David was not the only one that fought Goliath. Like, wait, don't preach that. That is blasphemy. No, it's true. David is not the only one that stepped up to Goliath. How do I know that? Because the Bible refers to him as the champion. You cannot be a champion if you never fought. So someone in the past stepped up to Goliath and fought him. Mind blown, right? Champion. Meaning he had a record, he had a history of winning and fighting battles and overcoming and winning. That could be you today. You have a history of fighting with the enemy but losing. You have a history of getting up every day telling the devil, no more devil, this is the last time you get me with this sin, you get me with this issue, I'm going to change, and the devil defeats you. It's like the enemy has his record on you, and Satan is a champion over your life. And he has a history of winning every day of your life. And you've tried but failed. And that is the worst. When you try to be a better Christian, when you try to do better, when you try to change your life, when you try to change this issue and you fail. What made David so different from all those other men that stood up to fight Goliath? Well, notice when Saul said to him, "You're not able." Did you ever hear David disagree? Did David ever fight and say, "How could you say that?" You know why David said nothing? Because Saul was right. David was not able to defeat Goliath. Just like you're not able to overcome what's overcoming you this morning. You can't change. You can't get delivered. Your life won't get better unless it's God doing it. That's what separated David from all those other men. Because all those other men tried. But David not only tried, David tried and trusted. Big difference. See, your faith has to be in the Lord, who's able, Ephesians 3:20, to Him who is able to do far more than we think or even imagine. Notice this, to Him who is able. Who's able? God is. He's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that you ask or even think according to His power in you. It's not about you. It's about God inside you. The only reason that you're able is because He's able and He's in you. So when Saul said, "You're not able," he was 100% right. David was not able. But see, but what Saul made a mistake in was that David was not relying on himself. He was relying on God. So you try, but you trust. If you're believing for a promotion, you gotta get up and go to work. You gotta keep working hard. You keep trying, but you trust God. If you're believing to graduate, you gotta work hard. You gotta study. You gotta work even harder for that, but trust God. Whatever you're trying and trying and trying to do, have you put God in? Or are you just relying on your own effort? Aren't you tired of the enemy in your life being a champion in certain areas of your life? He's the champion in your attitude. He's the champion in your behavior. He's the champion over the sin you try to fight off. David said, "This day, the Lord is going to take care of me. I'm going to try, but I'm going to trust. You guys getting this morning? I love this because everyone said, man, David stepped out in faith. Yeah. But listen, if he had 100% faith, why did he carry 5 stones and not 1? I don't mean to be bad here. But if David was all 100% faith, he said, let me bring 4 more in case I miss. You see, because David was human, and as a man or a woman of God, you're going to expect to miss sometimes. Amen? Somebody said, man, I don't know how many stones I've thrown already and missed. But you know what I love? In my crazy imagination, you know, after everyone went home and the battle was over and Goliath was headless, on one hand, David had Goliath's head, but in his pocket, I imagine he had 4 stones. And I think those 4 stones, when David looked at them, the Lord reminded him, you wasted your time picking those up because you didn't trust me. I wonder how many of us are wasting our time in fear and worry over things that aren't going to happen. So David made a decision. This day belongs to God. And I'm not going to let the enemy win 1 more battle. You know, well, Pastor, how do I do this though? If you're serious about not giving the enemy 1 more day of your life. If you're tired of the routine and the lifestyle of Goliath. Goliath needs to go, people. In order to get to that place where God wants you to be. In order to get to your destiny, Goliath needs to fall. That's what got David into his destiny when Goliath came down. But if David would have submitted to fear and discouragement like everyone else, it would never have opened up the doors for his destiny. So I wonder what you're missing out on that God has for you because you refuse to take Goliath down because you've adopted him as a lifestyle. So what do you do? Let me teach you this. It's not just about praying. You don't say, okay, pray, Lord, get Goliath down. Amen. No. Psalm 16, David teaches us how he did this. Psalm 16, verse 8, David said, I have set the Lord continuously before me because he is at my right. Notice one thing. David said, I have set the Lord before me, meaning his focus was on God. Part of the reason that you run away in fear and discouragement and Goliath doesn't come down is because you've taken your eyes off God and you've put them on the problem. It was funny because this week, I don't know why I'm laughing at this, don't judge me, but there was this kid crying as he was lost in a store, right? I don't know why I'm smiling as I say this, but this is crazy, true story. With all the chaos, this kid is just there, and he's panicking. I thought it was hilarious how he was screaming. You thought he was being murdered. Just screaming for his dad, Bobby, just screaming. I'm there like, no, but it gets worse. His dad was right next to me, and he said, look at this guy. His dad was laughing. And then the Lord gave me this message for today. That kid was afraid and panicking because he could not see his father. Took his eyes off him. But his father never took his eyes off him.
So while you're afraid and panicking for your life, what am I going to do? How am I going to overcome this? I'm discouraged. I don't know if I'm going to do this. Oh God, what am I going to do? And you're freaking out. I wonder if God and his angels are laughing. Look at him. Look at her. She's taking her eyes off me and she's freaking out. But he never takes his eyes off you. In the second that kid, his eyes saw the Father, it's like, I was like, man, is that what it's like to have a relationship with God? The second I put my focus back on him, it's like all fear goes. Psalm 16, 8 to 9, put it back up there. David said, I always focus on God, not the problem. I put God always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. My heart is glad. Notice this connection. My heart is glad and my glory what? Rejoices. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us what? Be glad and rejoice. How can I be glad and rejoice? Notice Psalm again. My heart is glad and rejoices when I put and set myself before God. It's all about your focus. What are you choosing to focus on today? The issues, the problems, the craziness? Or can you put your focus back on God who's in control of every day of your life? I hope and I pray that this is the day the Lord has made for you. The day that you're going to be set free. The day that you're truly going to become who you want to be and who God wants you to be. This is the day that you're going to be delivered from your past and your bondages. This is the day. I believe that this message is for today. I'm not preaching this next Sunday. I'm not preaching this ever again. Why? Because this is the day that I believe God says you're going to stop making Goliath a lifestyle. And you're going to take him down. Let's all stand to our feet. Aren't you glad to be back in the house of God this morning? Every head bow, every eye closed. This is my prayer today. As our worship team gets ready to worship here, I'm wondering today if this message was for your day. I'm wondering if you're just making Goliath a lifestyle. What started as a problem became a habit. And that habit now becomes a lifestyle. And you tell yourself, this is my day. You tell yourself you're not going back to that. You tell yourself you're going to overcome this only to be discouraged and give up when it overcomes you. And God says, I don't want you living like this anymore. I have more for you. I have things you can't even imagine for you. But before you can get to your destiny, Goliath has to fall. So if you're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I have a Goliath that I believe will come down this day. I believe this day belongs to the Lord. And it will no longer be given to the enemy. If this is you this morning, why don't you show me your hands? I want to pray over you this morning. God bless you. You all around the room today. All around the room. We're going to pray together as a church because I believe this message is for the entire church this morning. I believe this day belongs to Forward. This day belongs to God. So if you're tired of giving the enemy your days and you want to experience the rejoicing power of God and you want to live a life of gladness, set your eyes before God. Don't just try. Try and trust that God is in control. He is sovereign and in power. And greater is he that is in you right now than he that is in the world. Goliath will fall in your life. when you begin to lean on God again. Why don't you grab the hand person next to you, go across the room and grab it. So today we're going to be one church this morning. I want to pray over all of you this morning. You may not know that person you're holding. Introduce yourself. As we pray together as a church, with every eye closed this morning, I want you mentally to picture your Goliath. What is it that taunts you every day? What is it that has you afraid and discouraged? What is it that's bigger than you? What is it that you're not able to do? Why don't you tell God, I'm not able to do this. Be honest with yourself and God. I'm not able to stop this. I'm not able to change this. I'm not strong enough to give up this sin, God. I'm tired of it. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, by your blood, by your power, we are more than conquerors. So I pray for all the Goliaths in our lives that mock us, that taunt us every day, that every day has made us miserable, that we have not been rejoicing, we have not been glad, but we have made Goliath not only a problem, but a lifestyle. I pray for those who are tired of discouragement, who are tired of depression, who are tired of addiction and bondage. I pray for those right now, Father, that are tired of just being tired of asking you to help them and forgive them. And I pray, Lord, that the sin in their life will be conquered once and for all, because this is the day that you have made, and this is the day Goliath goes down. Give us victory over the battles we're in right now. Because we will not give the enemy another day of our lives, another day of our peace, another day of our victory. Devil, you had yesterday. You may have had years of someone's life here. But today you need to go. Today you are defeated. Today you will no longer rule over our church. You will no longer rule over me or my family in this church. Because we are trusting in the Lord, who is the creator of not only our lives and this universe, but He is the creator of this day. And this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it, because He has given us the victory over you. So in the name of Jesus, be set free from any bondage, any giant that has taken a stand in your life, and declare now, church, that Goliath is going down. And pray this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, today I will try, but I will trust. I'm leaning on you to give me the victory over fill in the blank. Don't repeat that one. You fill in the blank. Give me the victory over whatever your Goliath is. And picture that right now coming down, because Goliath fell forward as a sign of submission to God. So the problems in your life are in the authority of God right now. The Father set us free as we rejoice and be glad this day. Amen and amen. Give Him a shout of praise this morning. You guys are encouraged by that.